All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Our text today is going to be John 3:16. And what'd you expect from an evangelist major? All right, so today I'm going to be talking about the love of God from John 3:16. And in starting that, I want to tell you the story of a man I just learned about yesterday. I just read his story last night, and I wanted to share it with you. It's the story of a man called Henry Morehouse. And this man lived in Dublin, Ireland. And one day, D.L. Moody was coming to Dublin, and he met D.L. Moody there. And D.L. Moody saw him, and he saw him as a young guy, clean-shaven. He didn't think a lot about him. But this man told D.L. Moody, I've been interested in coming to America and preaching. And he just asked him, I'd like to preach in your church in Chicago if I could get the chance. And D.L. Moody didn't really say that he could, but they quit talking that day, and he thought he'd never hear from him again. So D.L. Moody went back to Chicago and never expected to hear from him again. A few weeks later, he got a letter from him saying, I'm in America now. I'd really like to have the chance to come preach at your church. D.L. Moody said, well, if you ever come by Chicago, stop in and see me. Again, he thinks there's not much of a chance this guy's actually going to show up. He sends him another letter. D.L. Moody gives a very similar response. And then he sends a third letter saying, hey, I'm going to be there Thursday. I'd really like to preach at your church that day. And so D.L. Moody ends up giving him the opportunity to preach that day. He says, I'm going to be out of town. Our normal service is on Friday. So he told the officers of his church, he said, hey, I'm going to give him a chance to preach. If he does a really good job, I'm going to let him preach again on Friday. And he's going to keep preaching as long as he's doing good. And so he preached that Thursday. Everyone thought he did a good job. And he kept preaching. And D.L. Moody showed back up in town on Saturday. And he asked his wife how he was doing. How did the people like it? And she said, he's doing really good. I really liked his preaching, and everyone seems to be liking his preaching. But there's one thing about it. He doesn't preach like you do. She said, his preaching, he preaches that God loves sinners. And the book that I was reading said that D.L. Moody at this time didn't believe that. He thought the opposite, actually. He said that God hated sinners, and he hated it. But this man was preaching that God loved sinners. And she said, if you stop and listen to him and actually hear his message, you'll understand. And so on Sunday, he went and he heard his message, and he preached from John 3:16, and he preached about the love of God, and he went all through the Bible, showing the love of God through the entire Bible. And this man continued to preach, and he preached for 6 straight days from John 3:16. And on that 7th day, he got up, and he said, I spent all day looking for a new text, but I cannot find one as good as John 3:16. And he ended his sermon for this week saying, I've been trying to tell you how much God loves you, but I cannot do it with this poor stammering tongue. If I could borrow Jacob's ladder and climb up into heaven and ask Gabriel to tell me how much the Father has for the world, and all he could say, and this is what he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is what I want to preach on today. And so first, we see in this verse, for God so loved the world. We see first, we're going to look at a few questions about this verse. Who did God love? Right here it tells us who God loved. God loved the world. He loved everyone. Everyone, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter your background, God loves you. And he says that right here in this verse, for God so loved the world. And we see there's other proofs that God loves the world throughout the Bible. One of the biggest ones I can see is the Great Commission. You know, in the Great Commission, God doesn't say, go and preach in England, or go and preach in China, or Russia, or America. He doesn't say a specific area or a specific country. He says, go and preach to the world. He gives an emphasis on the world. Go and preach everywhere. He doesn't specify a people group. He doesn't say, go and preach to the rich, or go and preach to the people that are nice, or the people that are good, or the people that are poor. He says, go and preach to the world. He wants everyone to hear that love that he has for them. And we see that in this verse. And we see that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or how bad you've been. God says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God knew that we were sinners, and he knew that we were going to sin when he died for us. And when he said that he loved us, it doesn't matter your sin or how much wrong you've done. God still loves you. And next, we see how God loved. We see in this verse, it says, for God so loved this world. And I was reading a commentary, and he talked about the two different ways you can use this word so in this verse. And one of them, we'll get to the second one later, but the first one that he mentioned was like an emphatic use. He's using so, saying, for God so loved the world. Like, that's so amazing. That's so great. For God so loved the world. And we see the... I'm going to quote a song real quick while I've got it written here. This song says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And we see that that's what is encompassed in that word so. He's saying, for God so loved the world. There's no greater word to describe it. There's nothing more that he could say than God so loved the world. And we see next, why does God love the world? We see, we just talked about, there's all these reasons why it might not make sense for someone to love us. You see, we could be horrible sinners, do so many wrong things. We could be horrible people, but God still loves us. And we see that even though we may not think that we're worth loving, or we're not worth this love that he gives to us, he still gives it to us. We see that that he loves us, because all the way through the Bible, you can see the love of God. He created us, and he has a plan for us, and he loves each and every person. And we see 1 John 4 teaches us that God is love. And so we can see that it's part of his nature to love us. And so we see that there is a reason why God loves us. And he wants everyone to be saved. We can see that from 2 Peter 3:9. And he teaches us all throughout the Bible that he loves us. And fourthly, we see that second use of the word so in how God loved us. Another way that the commentary mentioned that word so can be used is like in order that, so, thus. And we see that here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us through his Son. We can look in the previous verses and see that as well. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it's in this manner that God showed his love for us. We see, because Jesus died, because he gave that price for us, we can see that love of God. And the way that he showed it to us and sending his own Son to die for our sins. You see, sometimes you hear about people wanting to take on the price of someone else's crime. It's very rare, but every once in a while it happens. But how often do you hear about someone sending their own son for someone else's sin, having their own loved one go and pay the price for their sin? And not only was it one of his loved ones, not only was it son, it was his only son. The only one that he had, and he still said, I love you so much that I'll send my son to pay that price. And you see, that price had to be paid by death, because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So someone had to die for our sin. For that price had to be paid. And so we see that in the Bible. And we see that. And then we see the love that God has for us. But how will we respond to that love of God? You see, I see there only being three ways you can respond to the love of God. Oftentimes people say two, but I want to bring a third one in. You see, you can deny and reject the love of God. You can just act like it doesn't exist. You don't believe it, and you can reject it. And many people have done that, and many people have died and gone to hell because they've rejected the love of God. But we also see a second way here that's not normally mentioned. You can put off the love of God. You can wait to get saved. You see, in Acts 26, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I'm going to read a line from another song right quick. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. You see, not only can you reject it, you can put it off. Say, almost but not quite. Maybe someday I'll do it. Maybe it'll happen sometime. But no, it's a choice that must be made today. No one knows our future. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow if we're going to be able to make that choice. So we must accept that love of God. And that is the last option that we have, our third option, to accept the love of God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we can see that acceptance of that love. And I know most people in here are probably saved. So I want to bring in one more point. And we see, how do we respond to God's love? How do we show our love back to God? You see, we're saved. We've accepted that. So how do we show that we love Him? How do we respond now that we have accepted His love? You see, John 14:23 says, well, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see, once we're saved and once we know that love of God, our response and our reaction to that love is to live for God and do what He tells us to do. Romans 6:2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We see, because of our salvation, because we are dead to sin now, we shouldn't be living in that sin anymore. We should be living a new life. Now that we know the love that God's given for us and the price that Jesus paid on the cross for our sins, why would you want to sin anymore? Why would you want to be a sinner putting that pain on Jesus on the cross and having Him pay for that sin? So how are we going to live in light of the love of God today? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to put it off and wait? Or will you accept the love of God today and become a child of God today? And how will you continue to live in your sin? Or will you make the choice today to say, we're dead to sin and live no longer therein?